Hey, and we are back with the Cannabis Corner right here on KTAH, and we are also broadcasting on KTQA, Tacoma's two low-power FM stations, and we're really happy to be back on there. I know it's been a while since we've been doing a live show, but we are back on the air, and we have had some cannabis content coming out on these two stations, so that's been really great. Some Hemposium, and we had a Canicon documentary and a Hempfest documentary. And so I really hope everybody's been enjoying those. But we are about to get back on the air for at least to the end of the year, probably do like a 20-show season and see what happens. But this show, we're going to kind of be a little different than me just rambling on for 30 minutes about cannabis. We're going to have a co-host this go-round, and we are happy to be joined by a friend of mine who he and I have been discussing cannabis for a couple years now, and he is here with us today, and that is Uncle Dig. How you doing today, Uncle Dig?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Lucas?
I'm doing good, man, and let's just jump right into the show and kind of like what you and I are thinking about doing here. And I think a good starting point is just tell us, I mean, I've known you for a while, but I've never called you Uncle Dig. Why are you using a pseudonym?
Well, you know, my family isn't from the Northwest, and there could be professional and personal fallout if I were to go visit and was too public about what I'm doing out here in the Northwest. So for now, a small amount of discretion will have to be the better part of valor for the moment.
Yeah, I hear you. And I sort of have trepidation sometimes too about getting on the air and talking about cannabis, because as we know, it still is a Schedule I narcotic. And our last segment is on our show is it's a bust. And so we do know that cannabis still is illegal. And matter of fact, here in Washington, people are still getting arrested for cannabis. And here in Tacoma, people are still getting arrested for cannabis, believe it or not. Quite a few, matter of fact. So we'll be talking about that as we go forward. But the show's going to kind of remain the same. We're going to start out with some headlines, and then a new little segment going to be coming into it is Uncle Dig's Garden Report. And he'll be telling us about his garden, and that we'll use that as a jump-off point to talk about some different things of cannabis. And then we'll be going out with our weekly segment, It's a Bust, where we get to look at the drug war and the war on cannabis, and it's really a war on people, as we will definitely see today with today's story. I think we might have even covered it before, but this is still going on with a man arrested in Alabama for cannabis. So that is a tragedy, and it's just unfolding, and it's just the ongoing human tragedy, Dig, about this cannabis prohibition.
And a lot of times, you know, cannabis isn't really the reason that the police are interfering with your day. A lot of times they just use that perceived odor as an excuse to harass you. It's definitely become more of an excuse for the state to insert itself into people's lives than even a safety issue at this point.
Yeah, as is a lot of the laws we have on the books. And there's a lot of activism and stuff going on to change that. And we'll be getting into a lot of the, that stuff as well. I'm sure as we go along, just seeing how just the history of cannabis. You cannot really talk about cannabis without talking about social justice, social equality, and what's going on right now in the cannabis industry with them trying to get more POC ownership in the industry and trying to, even in Chicago, literally cannabis reparations and things like that. So it's really exciting time for cannabis. That's why we're launching the show again, because there's just so much news going on right now. A lot of good news, some bad news. And that's where we're going to start today, is a little bad news coming in from the cannabis industry. And that is getting into talking about something that we're all dealing with right now, and that's these wildfires. And you're dealing with the wildfires right now down in where you're at, Uncle Dave.
Yeah, down here in southern Oregon, we were having a few fires, but the two big ones, the Obenchain fire, which is actually close to where I'm located, and the fire that burned down Talent in Phoenix. I'm sorry, I think it was the Almeida fire. And they've really bad. They've burned up parts of pretty populated towns. And so far, they're talking thousands of family homes have been destroyed, along with farms and all of that stuff. One of the local farms I follow on Instagram's Massive Seeds, or Roganja, depending on which account you follow, their structures burned down, but they were lucky. They only lost 20% of their cannabis crop, and their drying barn actually survived. So they're still going to have a harvest. I don't know where they're going to sleep.
Yeah, we're having the same problem up here in Washington. A lot of the smoke is going to be bothering a lot of the outdoor farms. And they had in California too, you know, that Mendocino County up there, the Mendocino County. That is where a lot of the cannabis from the underground market comes from across the country. And then when you add on top of that, all the wildfires sweeping across Oregon, what do you think? You think we're going to, are we going to go from last year, everybody saying that there's a cannabis surplus, to are we going to be looking at a cannabis shortage coming up?
Look, if you're growing at home, I wouldn't be as generous this year as you normally are, because here the bottom line is they're already talking locally about a cannabis shortage. Usually Oregon is a pretty good place to go to buy cheap, high quality cannabis, and right legally in the shops, it's pretty cheap. And it hasn't been as cheap or as high quality recently, which tells me that they're scraping the bottom of the barrel on that surplus. And we're going to come into shortages the next year, as diversion is always a problem in the legal market, both here in California and in Washington. And a lot less may be diverted. So we might be seeing a national cannabis shortage, because like you say, the Emerald Triangle, basically from a little north of my area all the way down past Humboldt, is a lot of it's on fire, and a lot of outlaw crops that no one knows about are going up in smoke too. And so a lot of that stuff that was supposed to go back east isn't going back east either.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking about the indoor growers. They got even, you know, you got to pipe air from the outside in. So they're going to be spending a lot of extra energy on filtrations and everything. So I feel like this smoke is going to be causing a little more havoc on the cannabis crops than just the crops burning down. I'm interested to see what happens with these outdoor crops.
Well, and I actually talk about this in one of my later updates I'm working on right now, and we'll talk about smoke effects, I'm sure, later too. But I've had to rinse my plants off every day. Normally this time of season, I don't rinse them off as much because it's getting a little colder and I worry about humidity. But with this smoke and this ash, I mean, ash is literally falling onto my plants. I can see ash falling out of the air sometimes. So I rinse them off every morning because I'm just worried that if I don't, and there's nothing I'm going to be able to do about some of the microscopic stuff that I'm sure is sticking on them. If you're worried about smoking it, maybe make edibles.
All right. Our next story we're going to look at is all over the country. I mean, not as many as there has been in the past, but the cannabis legalization boom, as I'll call it, it's still going on. And there are still our states out there all over the country going to be voting on cannabis this November. And what's the first one we got there, Dig?
Arizona has a initiative on the ballot to go ahead and make cannabis legal. And it's actually really good. I looked into their home grow provision that they're proposing. They've got a 6-count plant limit and a provision to give up to an ounce to your friends. So 2 more plants than you even get here in Oregon. And there's a provision for giving away some of your hard-earned labor to your friends. Good job, Arizona. Let's hope it passes.
Yeah, I hope so too. And we really need more states to pass legalization and include the home grows. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you don't have home grows, cannabis is not even close to being legal. So next up is
that is correct.
Next up is New Jersey, over on the East Coast, and you know, New Jersey has struggled with this cannabis legalization thing. They do have a decent medical cannabis, but what's some of the things going on there with New Jersey's initiative?
Well, they have some good things about it. They're looking to correct social justice issues by ensuring that a lot of those license holders are actually going to be from affected communities that were affected by cannabis prohibition, specifically people of color and low-income people. But unfortunately, New Jersey will not be allowing home grow as their ballot stands right now, because they hate freedom.
Yeah, they must. And you're going to have a really hard time implementing legal cannabis without home grows, because what happens is you leave out an entire group of people that want to grow, and so then you kind of you make things legal, but then you turn other people into criminals. So let's look at the next one, South Dakota. This is an interesting case because they have both medical and recreation on the ballot at the same time?
I looked into these. Both of them, it's kind of a mixed bag. They're letting you grow three plants, but they're allowing local bans on cultivations in all form of commerce. So let's say they legalize in South Dakota and you live in a conservative town. You want to grow your three outdoor plants, but you're not allowed to because your town hates weeds. So it's not a perfect home grow provision. I'm going to go ahead and say that South Dakota only partially hates freedom. I hope it passes because, you know, even if we have imperfect legalization stuff in other states, the more states that are legal, the less people that are getting harsh penalties for this herb, the better. So let's hope it passes, but it could be a lot better.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not a total end of the world if you don't have home grows, but it just kind of takes away and it puts people still in between the cannabis plant and the law. So let's look at our next state. Next up, we're going to be looking at Montana. Now, I know an activist over in Montana, Carrie Boyder, who is actually on our Hemp Fest documentary, and she's active over there in Montana medical cannabis. And I know she's hoping that this passed. So tell us a little bit about the Montana initiative.
Now, I looked specifically at the REC initiative because that's the one I'm most concerned with because I think it maximizes freedom. Even though medical is important, the first thing we should do is make sure that patients have access and also keep people out of jail. And this does a good job of keeping people out of jail. Now, this has a really good home grow thing. You only get four flowering plants, but they include that you also get four seedlings. That's eight total plants, four flowering, four immature. So don't look now, Washington, but Montana may have more freedom than you come November. You should be embarrassed.
Yeah, because Washington was one of the originators for this new cannabis movement that's going on right now. And I didn't mean to imply that Montana does not have medical cannabis right now, because they do have medical cannabis right now. It's sort of a loose, unregulated system that they have. But they do have medical cannabis. So this is just trying to move them up to recreation. Now, next up is in old Mississippi. Now, Mississippi is going to try to pass a medical cannabis bill. I'm not so sure about this passing. I really hope it does. Somewhere like Mississippi really could use medical cannabis, because Mississippi does hate freedom just on its own.
Oh, yeah,
on the face. So if they could just loosen up a little bit, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction, but I see some language in the write-up on the ballot measure and like how they wrote the law that concerns me. They're only allowing access for people with, quote, debilitating issues to access medical cannabis. If only AIDS patients and cancer patients can access medical cannabis, you don't have a functioning medical cannabis program. And there's no homegrown provision, because of course there's not. It's Mississippi.
Yeah, but everybody in Mississippi who is going to grow is going to grow. So it's not like they're going to be stopping anybody from growing in Mississippi by not putting it in the law. And, you know, Washington State, that is their definition, is a debilitating condition, which can be all manner of things. It just depends on the state. Some states have a very wide definition of debilitating condition, and some states have a very narrow definition of debilitating condition. So it just kind of all depends on the state. So we're going from a good news story on cannabis to one that is not so good news, and that is in Nebraska, where a judge has struck down their medical cannabis initiative. And it really seems like they're just out to get cannabis in Nebraska. What happened, they had the medical cannabis initiative going, and then a sheriff put up a complaint about it, saying that it had more than one issue on the initiative. And according to the Nebraska Constitution, that's not legal when you're dealing with an initiative. So they took it down, and you got to really give your hats off to the Nebraska medical cannabis activists, because they just immediately came out and were like, hey, we're going to have one in 2022. But you know it's got to be frustrating over there in Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. And this with this medical stuff, people are dying without access to a plant that can provide them a modicum of relief. This isn't just about healing people. This is about easing people's pain.
Yeah, absolutely. There's people around that do end-of-life care with cannabis, and so it is definitely a thing that can help people end their life. But, you know, there's a lot of kids that need cannabis in Nebraska, too. And here we go again with the law part of it. Just loosening up the cannabis laws just a little will keep a lot of people out of jail in Nebraska.
And honestly, I looked up, I tried to find any information on home grow in Nebraska, and I looked for 15 minutes. Every one of these other states, it was really easy to look up in Ballotpedia or figure out. Nebraska was really nebulous. And I think that they need to tighten up their initiative writing next year so that a judge can't arbitrarily strike it down like he did this year. They're going to make it a single issue, legalize it across the board, and that's just how it has to be. And if they wanted a better regulated plant, they should have let this one go through, but they didn't want it that way, so fine.
So next up, we're moving on to Arkansas. And this story, I want to talk about this story because it kind of goes back to our legalization story where I was saying just because cannabis is illegal doesn't mean people aren't using. And just for instance, in Arkansas, they sold $140 million worth of cannabis. Was that this year, Dig? Am I reading that right?
Yeah. September 2020, as of September 2020, total marijuana sales, 140 million, over 22,000 pounds, 600,000 patients a day on medical cannabis in Northwest Arkansas. Unfortunately, part of the reason they're able to sell this much in such a beautiful growing climate as Northwest Arkansas is because they have no legal home grow. So even though they're selling weed, they're not actually really increasing freedom. They're just giving access for those that can pay for it.
Yeah, and that's $600,000 a day they're making.
Oh, is that? Oh, wow. That's
still a lot of money,
that is a lot.
That just didn't happen though. All those people were consuming, or not? I don't want to say all of them because the legalization did open up some.
But legalization did lead to a small increase in consumption among legal age population, but it actually leads to a decrease in consumption by underage people. I don't know about, I don't have any kids in my life, but I know that a lot of people who I know in the growing space, their kids actually think cannabis is lame because their parents are into it. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I contend that there in Arkansas that they just, many of the people who are using cannabis, quote unquote, illegally before, just simply walk right over to the legal market now. But as you said, it's a money game. So as in Washington State, hopefully the prices aren't too high. And I would be interested in seeing in Arkansas how much is actually left in the underground market. Because here in Washington State, they say it's half. So consider that as much cannabis is being sold in Washington, half of that, there's still that same amount is getting sold on the underground market still.
And see, here's what people need to realize about home grow provisions. Like small plant count home grow provisions don't lead to diversion, and they don't lead to a decrease in legal cannabis sales. Because listen, I've had bad years. I always buy cannabis. I still buy cannabis when I have tons of home grow just for fun. But let me tell you something. When people can grow it at home, they get their cheap cannabis at home. They don't get it off the black market, and they spend good money on good weed at the dispensaries. So this isn't a zero-sum game. If you want to eliminate your illicit market and limit your diversion problem, you legalize home grow.
This is our new segment that we're going to be doing. This is Uncle Dig's Garden Diary, and he has a good one for this week. So let's go ahead and play that.
Hey guys, it's 8/29/2020, and this is Uncle Dig with a garden update. It was a beautiful morning here in Southern Oregon, and it was a cool 63 degrees when I woke up to do my garden chores. I gave my plants 2 to 3 gallons each, and then, because of this awful smoke we have been having here in the valley from the California fires, I misted the plants off good with a strong jet of water, something I do anyway to prevent aphids and to keep the plants clean, but I do it more often and more thoroughly when the wildfire smoke is thick in the air. I then watered my yard and picked yellow leaves off the plants. When the plant is flowering or has a really old leaves, it will suck the nitrogen out of the leaves and they will get brown and fall off. That's completely normal throughout the plant's life cycle to lose one or two leaves this way, but this process accelerates as the plant is flowering late in the season. Depending on the nutrient schedule you go with, of course. I tend to cut nitrogen back earlier than other growers, so I go through the garden every morning or every other morning and pick off yellow leaves this time of year and either compost them or, like I did this morning, feed them to my chickens. The way you do this is just to give the leaf a quick semi-firm tug. And if the plant lets that leaf go, take it. And if not, it gets to stay on another day. Last week, one of my plants, Elfstone, had budworms. These worms are caterpillars from a white butterfly that usually lays its egg on cabbage. But it's just as happy to lay its eggs in your prized tops. They chew on the trichomes and they live and poop inside the buds where you can't really see them. So when it comes time for harvest, you get bud rot or botrytis in your buds and it destroys them, which is always super unfortunate. Anyway, so I cut the first caterpillars out of the buds on the Elfstone and I finally got some BT spray this year, which is a kind of bacillus bacteria that you spray on the plants that is supposed to kill the caterpillars. So I sprayed all my plants with it, and it looks like I might have saved one of Elfstone's neighbors, Strawberry Cough. I was scoping for pests yesterday, and I found a tiny little desiccated caterpillar on the end of one of its little caterpillar web strings outside one of my buds on the Strawberry Cough. It is important to verify that your pest controls works, and it looks like this stuff is. Don't worry, I'm still going to get a harvest from the Elfstone. I will just miss out on those fattest of the fat colas this year. Well, that's it for my garden update. Back to you, Lucas. Let's overgrow the world.
Yeah, great garden update there, Dig. That is your first recording on Audacity, and congratulations. That sounded really good. Thanks for doing that and giving us our garden update. And what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of have a conversation around that update and some things that I heard in there that I find interesting and think about. And first up, I want to talk about the reducing the nitrogen in cannabis. So when you're growing, you want to start out with a high nitrogen content because it makes the plant vegetate. So it gives you all the leaves. But it's just like any other plant. Anybody who is out there gardening knows that as you move forward, you start the plant starts to flower, you start reducing the nitrogen and you increase the phosphorus and potassium. And as you do that with cannabis, the leaves start turning yellow and they fall off. And so basically the plant kind of defoliates itself. Did I get that right, Dick?
Yeah, that's basically what happens. And there's other schools of thought on this. You know, there's growers that push nitrogen clear into mid-flower and they end up having to manual defoliate a lot more foliage at the end of their growing season when they're hanging to dry. And they say that their stuff tastes better, and I think that my stuff tastes better. There's a lot of different ways to grow this plant and a lot of different controversies, and cutting off nitrogen early is just one of many.
Yeah, and I've heard too that, just my experience, I first heard this down in Alabama, people would grow cannabis and they would get that old ammonium nitrate, just that pellet nitrogen fertilizer,
and yeah, just
jam it on the plant, and they'd be like, "Oh, I got this 10-foot-tall plant," and then you'd smoke it and be like, "Cough your brains out!" So
it tastes like straight Miracle-Gro tomatoes. You ever eat a tomato that they fertilize too much with Miracle-Gro?
Yeah, well, that would give it a harshness. Now I have to tell you, cannabis grown with Miracle-Gro has a really weird high to it. Yeah, it is totally different. I grew some one time with Miracle-Gro right when I first started even thinking about growing. I actually just grew a little plant in a window.
Perfect.
And I used Miracle-Gro, and I got like probably an eighth off the thing at the end.
That's all I ever get off my first indoor plants too, is an eighth.
Yeah, but I was real happy with it. But it was
Hell yeah, free weed.
Yeah, it was grown with Miracle-Gro, but it was... You'd consume it and you'd be like, oh man, what the heck is this? So I have never used Miracle-Gro again. Anybody thinking about growing out there medically, by the way, in Washington, you have to be a medical patient, remember. But anybody thinking about growing out there, just keep your plants far away from Miracle-Gro. I know it's a temptation.
If you want to go slow release, go rich rich soil. Don't go with any of these chemical fertilizers that are going to slow release, because when it's time for the plant to change its nutrient profile and suck up less nitrogen, it's not going to be able to. That stuff's just going to get forced up through the phloem with the water you water it, and it's just going to get taken, and it's going to really affect the way your plant tastes. Now, there are guys out there that swear it's not true, but you do you, man.
No. And I do think there is something to that. And they call it at the end, when you cut down the nitrogen at the end, call it the flush.
Yes. And yeah. And I go into flushing in a later update too. But basically flushing, there's a few schools of thought on flushing. That's a long conversation.
Yeah, actually. Well, let's save that for the grow update. We're talking about flush. But another thing you were talking about in there is the caterpillars and pest. And this is one I like talking to you about. And we actually had if you hear our Canicon documentary, we actually have a pest person in there talking about using wasps and things to control pests. And you had some caterpillars. I know you had some aphids before, but this year you got caterpillars?
So I get periodically, depending on the year, sometimes I get caterpillars in my buds, sometimes I don't. I don't know exactly why, but basically moths will come by and lay a moth or a butterfly would lay an egg on the outside of your bud. That caterpillar will hatch and it will crawl into the bud structure. So this usually happens in early flower, and it'll hide in there inside the bud where you can't see it and eat the trichomes. And if it's not humid, they never come out of the bud. You don't see them. And the first time you realize you got a problem, you see these brown spots on your bud. I didn't get them last year, I think because of the aphid problem, just kind of blocked them off from access. But I got them in 2016, and I didn't really have a problem with them in 2017. It's just year to year depends. I just recently started spraying for them with that bacillus spray, and that seemed to help. But once you have them, you really have to cut the buds they were in out, because if there's enough caterpillar poop inside those buds, that's what's going to cause your mold and your bud rot later. So you want to cut that out. You're going to lose harvest when you get an infestation of these. You're going to lose weight. It sucks.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. We don't really have too bad of problems with those kind of bugs. I mean, we do. I have not. I was dealing with a spider right now. I got some spiders, and I couldn't figure out whether it was spider mites.
Yeah.
But it was just like a little web, but it turns out I think it was actually a big regular spider because it had a big web. Yeah. And it was blocking. It had a couple bugs in the web, which I don't really. I feel like the bugs are helping pollinate and things like that. So I took that spider web off of there, and the spider will get up in there, and you'll have webs in your bud too. So there's all kind of pests and stuff that can get in there.
Well, and honestly, depending on the time of year, like I'll chase spiders out of my buds, but like if in veg, I will let spiders run amok in my plants because they're not hurting anything. I can wipe I can wipe the webs off of the leaves, no problem. So I don't chase spiders away until I'm in mid-flower, basically until the plant's really starting to produce those trichomes and it's really getting sticky. Then I start chasing them away, because like you said, you'll be picking, you'll think it's a hair or something, and it'll end up being a cobweb in your dried bud that's like 20 feet long.
Yeah, that's funny. I had the first person who ever gave me a cannabis list was actually a guy, was my neighbor. His name was Bubba. It's a Bubba from Alabama. But Perfect. He always told me, and I won't do an impersonation, but he always told me, hey, get you a spider and get it over on your plant and the veg to keep all the other bugs off. So that's, you know, some, and I think people, some of the old timers do that with the other plants too. It's not just cannabis. You want you a good, in your garden and in your backyard in general, we don't want to be using all these crazy sprays, because insects are part of the nature and the evolution of these plants. So we do want insects and arachnids around, just not at certain times and particular kinds. So it's kind of a dance you got to do with these things.
Well, and down here, like I do spray more than you. You're up in Washington, it's cooler. You don't really have the explosion of bugs we do down here in Southern Oregon. It'll be in the hundreds for weeks in the summer. So we get bugs. I have chickens and my chickens help keep down the bugs in general. But I spray a sesame oil solution on my plants only in veg. And I do it late at night, and it kind of can keep some of if you have a problem with mites, it can kind of keep them down. It can prevent aphids. It can prevent, sometimes grasshoppers won't like eating your plants.
Our final segment, and this is the thing we're still going to be doing, is we're going to talk about the drug war a little bit and the effect it's got on people's lives and just the terrible things going on out there with this. And this is a story that we might have already covered before, and it's our It's a Bus segment. And I am from Alabama, and I get a Google alert on cannabis in Alabama. So I'm always interested in these things. And this one is a particularly bad case of a guy named Sean Worsley, who was arrested in Pickens County, Alabama in 2016. And he is a veteran. And a disabled veteran. He was coming from Arizona, and he was going up to North Carolina. And he stopped in Mississippi, and they visited his wife's family, picked up some venison and some other stuff, and they were just going to go up and surprise his family in North Carolina. Well, Mr. Worsley made the mistake of having fun while you were black in Pickens County, because the literal of the story goes is he was outside his car playing air guitar and had his music turned up loud, and the police officer saw him over there and came over there and proceeded to search him down and find his cannabis in the car. And now Mr. Worsley and his wife were arrested. Mr. Worsley was sentenced to, and it was also a draw county, so he had alcohol in the car. It was just all kind of things. He had prescription medication in the car that were not in the proper bottle. So it's just all these laws that are out there just to do exactly what they did in this case, which is to entrap people, pull them in, give the police a reason to interfere in your life. And that's what these laws are all about. And we know that the cannabis laws are all about this. And now Mr. Worsley is facing 5 years. And this story just popped back up because the judge they were trying to get him out in a community supervision situation, but the judge denied that, and he's still facing the 5 years there in Alabama. As a veteran there, Mr. Digg, what do you think about this story?
Well, there's a few things I'd like to say. First of all, you may be hearing pills in a different container and think that's suspicious. Well, first of all, that could have been a pill planter. You know, those things that say Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's not an original container, and that can get you busted. And I think we know how those laws are enforced. But as a veteran, look, this guy did nothing wrong. He had a verboten plant. Notice in all these articles, no one once accuses him of being inebriated while operating a vehicle. It's all about possession. And honestly, like, this man supposedly fought for freedom, right? He isn't even being afforded the freedom that he so bravely fought for. And also, I'd like to say something about all these less popular veterans, like these veteran groups are never up in arms about any of these guys. No love for this guy. No love for all the combat veterans that were deported by ICE. You know, it's always a matter of who's conveniently in their political thing, who they defend. Like, honestly, if this had been a different story with a slightly different veteran, there might be like a group of 20 turbo vets outside the courthouse right now, like caught running amok, causing trouble. But because of the state it's in and because of how things are down there, he's screwed. It's so messed up. And it's not fair. For look, the VA needs to acknowledge that cannabis helps with PTSD and other issues. It helps veterans not use some of these heavy duty pharmaceuticals that they're giving us that are sometimes almost as bad as the diseases they're treating. This is an issue. Like, veterans' quality of life is at stake here. I have PTSD. I have chronic pain. Cannabis gives me a quality of life that I could not achieve through therapy and traditional medicine alone. And it's not fair that because I'm a white guy in Oregon, I can just do basically whatever I want and I'm fine. But if I were to go somewhere, if I go down south to visit my family, I don't have cannabis on me. I can't. It shouldn't be that way. I shouldn't have to go off my meds to safely visit family. No one else has to do that. Why do I?
Yeah, it is. And this guy, the headline I was reading literally said, playing air guitar while black. And I totally agree with you. If this would have been somebody in a big four-wheel drive truck with an American flag out there playing air guitar with some weed behind his back seat, would have nothing ever happened. And I can say that with 100% confidence, being from Alabama. And I don't think people really realize what living in a police state is like. Back when we used to use cannabis in Alabama, we would have to just put our whole life around not getting arrested. We would have cannabis. They'd have to like roll up one joint, take it to town, because if you rolled two, if you had too much, you couldn't eat or throw out the window. Your life is
ruined. Yeah, for real. Well, and when I was back home in Texas, I never messed with it. The weed we got in the 90s when I was in high school wasn't good enough to smoke anyway. So I thought cannabis was a bust. I never got a hold of good cannabis. And when I finally did, it's such a dangerous thing. It's not worth it. It's almost not worth it down south. And that's a shame, because it's such a useful both medicine and a recreant. It's so good at so many things. It's so limiting not to have access to it.
Yeah, and it just, the cannabis laws, and this, we've said this several times on this show, they just add another thing for the police to get involved in people's lives and to mess with people. So I want to close out by saying that I really feel like the cannabis industry needs to step up a little bit and get more involved in these cases. And we really need to push legalization. I know we're pushing it really hard, and it seems like it's going so slow. But you know what? Alabama has medical cannabis, y'all. The state voted a couple years ago to pass a full plant medical cannabis bill. They just haven't gotten it implemented. I feel like if the cannabis industry and people were just a little more up in arms about all this, that we could maybe get a little more movement, and things like what happened to Mr. Worsley would not happen. And we're going to get out of here, but it was really nice having you on the show, Dig, and you're going to be our co-host, and I'm really happy to have you on here. Any final words you want to say for our first show here and on Radio Tacoma and KTQA? And this is also going out in podcast, by the way. I don't mean to leave out the podcasters, but this is our two home stations here in Tacoma, and we really want to thank them for letting us on the air. Please support these two stations. It is a big undertaking to get these things going, and it is actually a gem here in our community to have these. So please support these stations. And this is going to be doing a podcast too, so subscribe to that. So I hope you have a good day, Dig. Any last words for us today?
No. Just everybody have a good time, and let's overgrow the world.
This is Cannabis Corner, hosted by Lucas Barfield. If you would like to get in contact with your host, he is on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. Your musical selection is The Happy Monster by Chubby Jackson and his orchestra, recorded on 78 in 1947. You can find this music and much more at The Great 78 Project, an archive of historical music recordings at great78.archive.org. You are listening to 101.9 KTAH, Radio Tacoma.